Okay, so in usual fashion, Newsweek magazine comes out with an article, and they even had to put it on the internet, so even people who don't subscribe or pay for the magazine will see it. Comes up with an article from their religion editor, of all people, Lisa Miller, challenging the resurrection, saying that, you know, different people have different thoughts, some like it, some don't. And she sums it up at the end. Her concluding comment was, "For my part, I don't buy it." Now, that's nothing new for them to come out with these articles. As I said, you can set your calendar by these things. If Newsweek or Time comes out with an Antichrist article, it's generally Christmas or Easter. But this is the first time that I've actually seen anybody just come out and say, "I don't believe it." Usually they'll say, "Well, you know, Bob over here really has a different perspective," because they're trying to be politically correct. Now they're getting bolder and bolder and bolder. She just comes right out and says, "You know, I don't buy it." But you know what? I don't care, you know, because, you know, my status, you know, my normal operating procedure every Christmas or Easter when I see these articles is put up some kind of scholastic argument and just reason and rationalize and say, you know, why the resurrection of Jesus Christ really is true. And it is. I mean, it is one of the most well-documented, established facts in the history of mankind. Any argument against it ranges from being simply flawed or to being downright ridiculous. And so every year, maybe twice a year, I go through this motion. You know what? Frankly, I have no inclination to address the issue today. I believe that, you know, as I sought God for what are we going to do this Easter, I believe he spoke to my spirit and said, "I don't want you to explain the resurrection. I want you to proclaim the resurrection." Hallelujah. Amen, Lord. Just proclaim it. Just proclaim it. For those who refuse to believe, no explanation is sufficient. They just refuse to believe it. But for those who have encountered the living God and have drank from the rivers of his power, no explanation is necessary. Praise God. And so frankly, Lisa, you know, I'm not going to waste my time. Nice try. Forget about it. One fact is uncontested between believers and non-believers alike. You can subscribe to what you will, whatever theology or philosophy, religion or you know, perspective you want. But one fact stands uncontested between believers and non-believers alike, and that is one day you're going to die. You're going to die. Believe it or not, you're going to die. I mean, short of Jesus Christ literally coming back in our lifetime on that moment and stopping history, barring that, you're going to die. Amen? And you don't have to be a Christian to know that. You can go to any local cemetery and the evidence is there. We're going to die. And the Bible says that when you do, you are going to give an account for everything you have done in this life, particularly every sin that you have ever committed in this life. You will give an account. You will give an account of every lie that you've ever told, every deception, every twisting of the truth, whether behind somebody's back or in an argument or to the newspapers or however you want to call it. Every lie, every deception, every spun truth, every hard word, every sharp, cutting, razor-edged, malicious, vicious word that you have ever spoken, whether to someone's face or behind their back or in gossip or in some other situation, you're going to give an account. Every blasphemous misuse of the name of God, going all the way back from your childhood to the day of your death, if you've ever misused that holy name and taken what is holy and used it as a curse word, because these other ones weren't good enough, so you decided to blaspheme God's name instead. Every lustful, filthy, adulterous, sensual action, thought, word, or deed that you have spoken, thought of, or committed in this life will be all put on the table. And the Bible says, especially the secret things. God will reveal the secrets of men. All the cards are going to be out on the table. Nothing will be concealed. And you will give an account for everything that you have done, and particularly every sin, everything you have done that has fallen short. When God called you to give to some tragic, pathetic, needy person, and you just turn your back on that out of greed or covetousness or simply out of a cold heart that really had no compassion or care for anybody, you will give an account of those things. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Every person on this planet has fallen short of what he requires. fact, it says that he gave the law, the Ten Commandments, so that every mouth would be stopped and the entire world would become guilty before God. So we're in a pretty rough situation. And it further says that the wages of sin is death, both physical death and spiritual death. That means eternal separation and banishment from the presence of God in the lake of fire, which is known as hell, forever and forever and forever. How do I know that? Because Jesus said so. Not because some guy on TV or some guy in a book or some guy in some elevated religious position, but the Lord and Savior that I follow, Jesus Christ, taught more about hell than any other person on this planet. And he said, fear him. But thank God that's not the end of the story. The very reason we're here today is because 2010 years ago on that Good Friday, Jesus Christ hung on that cross and bled and suffered to die to take my punishment for me and to take your punishment for you and to take the punishment for everyone who will put their faith in him. He paid the price. He paid it in full. He didn't make a down payment. He didn't put it on layaway. He didn't use a credit card. He completely and utterly exhausted the wrath of God for everyone who believes. And because of that, we celebrate today. God said, if you will repent of your sin and simply put your faith in Jesus Christ, that he will wash your slate clean. Every stain, every sin, every record of everything in which you have rebelled against him in your life will be forgotten, forgiven, and washed clean because the price is already paid. How do I know that? Because there is an empty tomb across the ocean. There is an empty tomb that said Jesus Christ was who he claimed to be and he did what he said he would do. And that empty tomb is my paid in full receipt. Everything that the devil would try to throw at me, God says it's already paid in full. Put your stuff away because this one is mine. This one is mine. Praise God. So that's my normal Easter Sunday sermon. You know, I mean, if this is any other week, I'd say, okay, thank you. We'll give an invitation. Everybody else go eat and we'll have some fun and go home and watch the game or something. But I want to do something a little bit different today. I want to take it beyond that today. Because frankly, you know, as beautiful as it is that the empty tomb is the proof that we are forgiven, the proof that we serve a real God who did what he claimed to do and who was who he said he was. For the believer, for those who have received Christ, that empty tomb, that resurrection of Jesus Christ means so much more than that. It means, yes, that very thing, but then it means riches beyond measure, even beyond that. And I want to unpack some of those riches today. I want us to go into that treasure house of God's riches today and unpack what the resurrection means for you as a believer. Nick, this is for you, brother. I hope you take something home today that will just enrich your soul. And Luke, this is for you also. Heather, this is even for you. I hope what we unpack today is so much wealth for you and so exciting for you that the next time you go to worship, you can't even stand it. That you've got to just jump up and dance and worship and shout and get happy in the Lord before him because of the richness of his love and goodness towards you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a virtual powerhouse of riches and treasure for the believer. It enables us to live a victorious, overcoming, powerful, spirit-filled life like we've never could possibly dream of living without that. Right here and now, it means a ton of things for eternity. But it means so much for us right here and now, from the sleepiest Monday morning to the busiest frantic Thursday afternoon to the most glorious Sunday morning worship. The resurrection of Jesus Christ enriches a believer's life in ways that I'm only going to be able to scratch the surface of today. But I'm going to give it my best shot. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives me a new identity. A new identity. I'm a new man because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Roy knows what I'm talking about. Father, I pray you just fill my brother to overflowing. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives me a new identity. Now, salvation is a gift from God. It is by His grace. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. We receive it by faith in Christ, and He gives it freely to us. And because of that, you may hear Christians say from time to time, well, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I've said it myself. I was trained to say that when I first got saved. Nothing to brag about here. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I love the humble attitude in that. I mean, it's really nice to, you know, with all the arrogance you encounter in the world, it's nice to have a humble attitude once in a while. But frankly, it's not biblically correct. God love the brother who says that. But, you know, frankly, it's not biblically correct. If you have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, you are so much more than that. You are a supernatural being recreated in the image of God, empowered by a supernatural life, given a supernatural destiny. You're a citizen of a supernatural kingdom. Glory to God. You are so much more. I mean, you have His ring on your hand. You have His robe on your back. You have a crown awaiting for you in heaven that is undefiled and incorruptible and does not fade away. You have a new residence. You have so much more, and you are so much more than that. Something happened to you the moment that you got saved. Something took place inside of you that changed you forever. Forever. It wasn't just a little help to get you along the way. It changed you forever.